So we're going to have a couple people share briefly about their experience. And if you went on the Thailand trip and I didn't see you come in, would you make your way to either front side? There's some seats over here on my right. That way I can just see you and call you guys up. But Austin's going to come up and share first. Thank you, sir.
Hi, good morning, SBC family. If I have not had the privilege of meeting you yet, my name is Austin Kim, and we had a wonderful, wonderful time in Thailand. To preface, I wanted to share something from the book Mind of a Missionary. It's written by David Joannes, who is the president and founder of Within Reach Global, the organization that we partnered with. He talks about three specific motivations that shape the mind and the heart of a missionary. These three motivations are obedience to God's word, that's one. The second is compassion for the lost. And the third is seeking after God's glory. And on this trip, I think that each and every single one of us, students included, we were challenged to have our hearts, our minds shaped into the heart of God himself. And for me specifically, the Lord gave me a specific scripture out of Zephaniah chapter 3. I'm a textbook introvert, so this is a little bit unnatural for me. I had to carve out time to be alone. That was one of the struggles on this trip, is we're all just together 24/7, sleeping together, eating together, you name it. I think one morning I tried to get away, but I was stalked by a pack of wild dogs in Malek, so wasn't always successful, but there was one day on the trip that the Lord, just in a quiet moment, just gave me the scripture out of Zephaniah 3. The context is the Lord is speaking to the house of Zion, of Judah, and he talks about how the Lord has taken away all of the judgments against them, cleared away their enemies, and this is the heart of God towards his people. Zephaniah 3, verse 17, he says, "The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing." And the phrase that got me out of that verse was, "He will quiet you by his love." So many of the people there in Thailand, they have an internal monologue that says, "Where am I going when I die? Have I done enough to be a good person? Can I do enough? Am I going to anger the spirits?" That's a big fear that they have. A lot of their religion revolves around that. And in Christ, the beautiful thing is, all of that is silenced. He has quieted that. If you are in Christ this morning, you do not have to wonder where you are going when you die. You don't have to wonder, have I done enough? Can I do enough? Because he has done enough. He has done enough. And so we got to share the beauty and the truth of the gospel with people who have never seen an American, never seen a white person ever before. I guess I wasn't that special. The question that I got was, are you Chinese or Korean? And I'm Korean. But I mean, people were looking at Liam like, wow, like, look, who is this? Like, I was like, oh, that's cool. But no, it, like, all of us were challenged in a lot of very real ways. And I know for me, the very first village we went to, there was an elderly gentleman who was almost like the spitting image of my maternal grandfather. And so that kind of was a real gut check for me. Like, these are real people with real fears, real needs, real emotions. And, you know, our Lord and Savior, he calls all people from all nations, all tribes, all languages, all nationalities to worship around his throne. I love that we sang that song this morning. That is the vision. That is what we are going to partake in as his people. And so I just love that I got to be a part of that. I'm going to invite whoever it is next to come up and share. And again, really proud of these students for just the work that they did.
Thank you, Austin. Liam was like one of the taller guys on our trip, and his like Thai name was Pukao, mountain. And mine was Crazy Foreigner, which translates Ding Dong Frong.
Okay. Hi, my name's Sierra. I just want to start off by thanking everyone that gave to this missions trip so that we had the opportunity to go. Caleb asked us to share our favorite part, the hardest part, and what the Lord is speaking to us now. And my favorite part is when we were in the second village, we got to stay at the people's houses, and the house I stayed at had a 15-year-old girl, and I'm 15, or I just turned 16, but I was 15. Okay. And she had a bunch of beads and bracelets, and even though we weren't speaking the same language, we were able to laugh and bond and talk together. The hardest part was I shared my testimony for the first time, and I get nervous when I talk in front of a lot of people. And just stepping outside of my comfort zone, talking to the people in Thailand. And then now coming back to the States, the Lord is really showing me how to continue to share the gospel in a modern setting with people my age and people where it's easy to just put it to the side and not share, and just showing me that I still should continue to share even though I'm not in Thailand anymore.
Bella? Bella Robinette.
Hi, everybody. I'm Isabella Robinette, and I would like to thank all of you guys who contributed to this missions trip. It was a huge blessing to get to go on. My favorite part of the trip was probably when we met up with one of the pastors, Ajahn Lek. She's a female pastor there, and meeting her was such a blessing. She taught me a lot of things about myself, about the Word of God, about how to study the Bible, and the way that they study the Bible there, the way they worship, and really just spending quality time with her was one of my favorite parts, just learning about the Thai culture and about how they speak to the Thai people about God, if they haven't heard it before, and if they have heard it before, and how they introduce themselves. That was really great. One of the hardest parts for me was trying to find out where I am in my walk with God along the way. But that's also been encouraging at the same time. It's encouraged me to dive more into the Word of God and just spend like 5 minutes every day. First thing when I wake up, just pray. Then that starts my day really nice, and I get to like have a positive attitude for the rest of the day. And then, what else?
Now that you got some time, is there anything that you realized from the trip?
Yeah, something that I've realized from the trip is just that I love sharing the Word of God with people, and I like doing that in a way that they understand it. Like, I like being able to relate to them in certain ways. Like, for example, the Thai people, a way that we were able to relate to them is just describing the beautiful place around them. Like, they live in these beautiful mountains with all this greenery, and so we start off by asking them, like, do you know who made all of this around you? And that really gets the conversation started, so that's something I've enjoyed. Yeah, thank you.
Hi, everyone. Name's Matt. It's really bright up here. I never realized. Usually I'm back there playing, but standing right here, geez. I can't see anybody. I just want to thank everybody for your prayers, your support. It's a big, big trip going out there. Getting ready for it, preparing your heart, preparing your mind. I didn't realize what was involved, what we were going to be doing. You get there, and you have this idea in your head, what you might think it's going to be and what you're going to be doing. You meet everybody there, and we start going out, and we get to these villages, into this jungle, and you're just kind of blown away. You're out in the middle of nowhere, you know, out in these jungles, and just talking about the Word of God. I'm sorry, this is like, I'm gonna get down here and see if I can talk to you guys, because I want to see some faces here. I'm having a hard time trying to talk and not see anybody here. Thank you. Okay. But it's special, you know. It's special to be with these people, to be in this group, and to be out there in the middle of the jungle, and you're about ready to talk about God, and you're wondering, okay, what am I going to say? What am I going to do? I don't know these people. You know, you start questioning all these things. Who am I to bring the word of God all the way across the country into this place. And then you get out there and you're sitting down with these people in the village, and it's amazing because they're blown away that you've come all the way to be with them sitting down in their little hut. And that was surprising to me that they were happy to see us. I did not expect that. You know, they are so happy to see us that they would want to prepare some food for us and give us something. A few times the girls ate some spiders. Well, not just the girls, but the whole group ate spiders. We had intestine. It was incredible. It was, there was a lot there that, but relationally, you're talking to them and you're sharing the word and you're realizing that these people are a lot like you. They're broken. They need a savior. And you find these little things to communicate with them, to relate to them. And through that, the whole time we're out there for days and we're talking to them, and you start to realize, okay, they're a lot like me. They're a lot like us, all broken. And we have all these issues. And we have all these idols and gods, and you see them, they have these idols and gods. And so then you're talking to them out there and you're trying to relate that, and they're talking about sacrificing chickens and using the blood to put on the trees. And so then you're relating that to about Christ, and you're trying to share that. And so it's a lot of communication out there, and it's a lot of relationships and just I was blown away by that. You know, a lot of that was surprising to me. It was cool to see. And then I come back here, and the spiritual warfare is heavy here. And I realize that there's a lot of people here that need a savior. And I'm out in the world, and I'm back home, and I'm trying to think about all these things of what I just went through at home. I mean, what I went through out in the jungle and talking to these people. And then I come back home and I realize there's not much of a difference from those people to us. You know, they don't know Christ like we know Christ here in America. Here, everybody at some point, it seems like, has heard about Christ. But over there, they know nothing about Christ. That's one of the differences I saw. But I mean, there's so much to share. It was an amazing trip to be with this group over here, and the special bond that I getting to know these people over here was amazing. Just fellowshipping with some of the guys in the morning. We would wake up every morning and we'd wake up early. We'd open up our Bibles and we'd have this fellowship between the men. And that was so special, just to be able to sit there and talk about our day and about what we've seen out there, sharing the word of God. And being with those men was really cool. There was a few things that, like Caleb told me, he talked to my daughter about her walk with the Lord, and he shared some things with me, and that was special. So all these little things that when you're out there, just your senses are heightened, and these relationships, communication, getting deep into the Word of God is just a special thing to see and to do. I would definitely recommend it if you've never had the chance, or if God is pulling at your heart to do something like this. It's definitely changes your perspective, what you see in the world and in your own walk. It definitely has for me. I appreciate it so much, and I appreciate this group and everything that we did. It was a really special time. I would definitely do it again. that was fun. Didn't really have a prepared speech, so I'm just kind of going on the fly here. But I thank you. That's it.
Morning, everybody. My name is Liam Palmer. My wife, Lily, and I have been serving with the youth group here for about 5 years. My wife was born and raised in this church. But if you haven't met me, hello. As Caleb said, the Thai people gave me the Thai name Mountain. I don't know if you've noticed, we have an extremely tall church. I'm 6 feet tall, and I'm probably in the bottom quarter of height for this church. We have a weirdly tall congregation here. But Thai houses are not made for six-foot-tall American men. At one point, we were sharing the gospel in a village to an elderly woman, and I stood up too quickly in her home and smashed my head on one of the rafters. There was another group sharing with a different person across the village, and they were like, "What was that banging sound?" I just about knocked this poor Thai woman's house down with my head while we were there. I don't know if you guys saw in the video, we got to go see elephants. It was one of our last days, just kind of a day out, a rest day for everybody. I noticed our wonderful youth pastor did not put video of himself head to toe covered in mud. I don't know what it is with Caleb. He can't help himself around mud. If that man is around mud, he's going to cover himself head to toe and do everything he can to make sure you're covered head to toe in mud as well. So he's crawling around in this mud, and I had gotten out of there because I know that man's one of my best friends. I know him well. I knew if I was anywhere near that mud pit, I'm getting covered too. So I was off. The elephants were in the mud pit with us, and Caleb's crawling around on all fours and terrifies this adult female elephant. So she comes tearing out of the mud pit, tearing through the forest. Caleb's causing a commotion while we're there. But it was a great time. We had so many fun stories like that I don't have time to tell. But I think the thing that affected me the most was, I think we've all had the experience of sharing our faith and people wanting nothing to do with it. We've all had a time where we're like, "Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus?" And people's knee-jerk reaction is, "No, I don't want to hear about that." I would wager that very few, if any of us, have ever had an experience where you're like, "Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus?" And people are like, "Who? What? What is that? Who is that? What are you talking about?" It's insane. So where we were is called the 1040 window. So from 10 degrees north to 40 degrees north, from east or West Africa over through China, is called the 1040 window. About half of the world's population, about 4 billion people, live in that window, and a minuscule percentage of those people are Christian. But it's not just a minuscule percentage of Christians. A minuscule percentage of those people have ever even heard the gospel. We're talking billions of people that it's not, "Oh, it's a low percentage of Christianity because they don't like it." It's people that have never heard the gospel before. And that really struck me. Talking to people, talking to these rural villagers, and they're hearing the gospel for the first time is an insane thing. And I think it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day. I think especially in a place that's as hard to live as Truckee sometimes financially, it's easy to get caught up in the grind and in making ends meet. And you know what? There's a very godly aspect to working, to providing to you, for your family. But I think it's important that each and every one of us has a mind that the Great Commission is for all of us. Go and preach my word unto all peoples, unto every tongue, every nation, every tribe. I just want to share a quick verse, and then I'm going to invite Caleb back up to share something with you. But Acts 20, verse 24, "But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God." That is the utmost calling we have as Christians, is to testify the grace of God. And I would just encourage us all, because it really struck my heart, that there are people out there that don't have the gospel. There are people out there that it's not that they've rejected Christ, they haven't been preached Christ yet. And that's an important mission that each and every one of us can play a part in. I'm going to invite Caleb back up here.
Thank you. Thank you, Liam. That's what this shirt represents. It's less than 1%. Less than 1% of people in the 1040 window have ever heard the name Jesus, ever heard the gospel. You know, like some of the team was sharing, you're sitting in this hut and you're having a conversation for 1 to 3 hours. And you're like, you know, "Have you ever considered who created the mountains?" They're like, "Never." So let alone Jesus, like, okay, we're going back to Genesis all the way to the beginning. Can you cue that slideshow for me? All right, so we land in Thailand, about 30 hours of travel, and this is Josh Shively, his daughter Ellie Shively. They have recently moved to Thailand. That's my connection to Within Reach Global to Thailand, and they have laid down their lives to go on the mission field and to go on this adventure and preach the gospel to the 1040 window. This is his wife, Erica. They've been longtime friends of mine and Missy's. They were in youth ministry for many years, like 15, 16 years, in California, Auburn, Santa Cruz, Monterey, and they got the call to go. They have a son named Seth as well, and I don't have a picture of him. Sorry. This is a Song Tao. So we get out of the airport, we load up in these, and we head over to the Red Panda. This is a coffee shop slash, they call it the Fusion Center. It's located between two different colleges, and it is a strategic area that they are trying to reach college students with for the gospel. It's got four levels to it. The bottom level is a coffee shop. It looks like this, has a nice slide in it. And in the back corner, I don't know if you can see that very well. It's hard to see. Sorry, guys. There's a little coffee shop. Next level, some offices. The third level has video games, ping pong table, and they just are trying to encourage college kids to hang out. The fourth level is this room, and it's where they have Bible studies and services and where we would do like our orientation meeting. So we've traveled 30 hours, and they get us in this room. They fed us, gave us some water, and then we had a like 3 to 4 hour long like crash course. And at that point, you know, we're all like, I feel horrible. I want to go to bed. And they're like, all right, we're going to practice sharing your testimonies. I think this is actually a fairly effective strategy because those high schoolers are like, whatever you want, whatever you want. I just want to go back to the hotel, please. And like, I'll say anything. It worked really well. Those kids were talking. And so we get to our hostel and we go out for street food that night. This is all pretty much chicken. There's some pork there, but it's like unidentified body parts of a chicken. You thought it was a chicken breast. It wasn't. Okay, the next morning, I walk out of our little hostel at 5 a.m., and I'm cruising down the street, and I find the Heart Coffee. But unfortunately, it's not open till 9 a.m. In Thailand, no one is awake at 5 a.m. It's a late culture. They like to stay up late and do things late, but not early. We load up in these three vans with a group from Within Reach Global and 15 of us and probably like 7 of them, maybe 8 of them. And we head out to this lower province, Leng Phung. And this is at Ajahn Lek's church. Her and her husband are the pastors. Ajahn means pastor. And in Asia, both the husband and the wife are the pastors of the church. She's a very charismatic individual, very outgoing, very outspoken. And we worked with her the most. This church was donated by a Korean church actually raised the funds for this building, and it's beautiful. We went to a local school right down the road and got to share just some, like, I've done a couple different mission trips, and today this day was like kind of the classic, like doing games with kids, face painting, like a little skit with them, gospel presentation. Peyton was a champ this day. He was playing soccer with the kids, and like, this is at the very end. Like, I've got everybody else loaded in the vans. I'm like, Peyton, and he's like taking a photo. There was multiple times on the trip where I thought Peyton was like goofing off on his phone, and he was like looking up Thai words, and he was like taking pictures with kids. Like, this kid's attitude on the trip blew me away. He had an amazing attitude. Austin and Liam took a major hit this day because they played soccer, and they were both going to die. I was really concerned. Peyton did fine. As soon as we're done with the school, we head over, and we just, I mean, I can't tell you, we spent the majority of our time going door to door and talking with people about the gospel. You see that little bag on the ground? We would usually bring some sort of gift, you know, just some snacks, some water, maybe some toiletries. Thai people are afraid to have you pray for them. They're afraid of upsetting the spirits that are in the area, and the demonic spirits. And so, but they'll let you sing. They'll let you sing praise songs. Okay. So, we finish up with that. We're still majorly jet lagged. This is a service at Ajahn Lek's church. And, you know, the guy's like, hey, does anybody want to play? Matt's like, I'll play drums. Hops right in there and just goes for it. Did a great job. And then Pastor Ajahn Leck was like, does anyone from America have a word of encouragement for us? Liam's like, I got you. And then Ajahn Leck also, this is after she's given a sermon. Does anybody have a testimony to share? Sierra's like, I got this. And she goes up. And then, I don't have a photo of it, but she's like, Pastor Caleb, you have something to share. I had fallen asleep 3 times before this. I don't know what I shared. Allie Richardson has no recall of me getting up there and saying something. I don't think, Austin, do you remember me getting up there? Okay, yeah, see, like, delirium. So, and then, like, service is over, right? I'm beelining out the door, please get me to a bed. And Ajahn Leck's like, no, these people sitting in the chairs, they would like prayer for healing. And I'm like, Lord, if these people stood up and walked right now, I don't know if it's worth it to me. Like, I gotta go to bed. If you look closely, you can see Grace Robinette there, and she's just like hanging on by a thread. Allie, like, trying to just be positive and keep people going. Like, whoo, this was probably the hardest moment for me in the trip just because my physical body was given out. That's me the next day. You know, those really great mornings with that Matt was sharing about. That there I am. Whew. This is Jake and our team at a village. And these like next couple of days kind of all blur together. He's got a gift for whoever we're visiting in his hand. At this village, we were the 4th group to visit them. And still, people in the village had never seen a white person. And it was a special thing because we were the first group that they fed. That had not happened yet. There's a man in a striped shirt over on the left. He's one of the pastors from Chiang Mai, and he helps a lot with leading these teams. And he was just beside himself that the village had accepted us. And it was just a huge win for the gospel, a huge win for their efforts there. We're having some sticky rice, some boiled bamboo, and there's a really good spicy Thai sauce, but then there's also a bowl of chicken intestines that have been fried. I gotta say, every single one of the kids on the trip ate whatever was put in front of them. Be it chicken intestines, spiders, didn't matter, they ate it. I was very impressed with them. There is Jalen and Peyton both eating fried spiders. We went to a school local there in the village, and the school is like the nicest facility I saw out there in the villages. We brought 5 different backpacks from Joe Craft. He donated them. They were filled with like school supplies for the teachers. Got to hand those out. This is Pastor Ajahn Sambu. And he, like, we got to stay at his church. So we left Ajahn Leck's church, and we went to Ajahn Sambu's church. He's the senior pastor. a lot of the guys slept on the floor in the church. And like 4 of us brought our own hammocks and like some bug nets and stuff and slept outside. When I asked Pastor Sambu if I could sleep in my hammock, his instant response was like, sleep at my house, take my bed. Like I was like, no. Like I want to do this. Like we sleep outside all the time in hammocks. I brought a bug net. And he's like, okay. Like, but their hospitality is just incredible. This is at his house. We got to do they called it a small group, but it was a time of, you know, getting into the word, worship. All the worship songs that they sing are from like the 90s for us. So like me and like some of like the older people on the trip, we knew all these songs. Even though they were singing in Thai, we knew them, and so we could like sing in English. And all the like kids are like, I've never heard this song before. What is this song like? Anyways, other side of the room at Ajahn Sambu's house, some of our team. And this is everybody's living room. It's just boards on the floor. This is Ajahn Mike, and I got to go to his house that night, and this is us having a time of worship. He's got his head down, and he's kind of on the far left here. And I mean, it was a great time. We got to hear from his dad. His dad was like one of the first Christians in the area. He used to be the elder / shaman in that village. And I believe it was another Korean Christian came walking through the village and decided, I'm going to like live here and share the gospel with this man. And as the village, you know, he was telling us some of the practices that they would have. You know, their version of spiritual, sorry, let me back up just a minute. Going to Thailand, I had assumed that Asian people being more spiritual would have an easier time grasping Christian spirituality. That is not true. The spirituality that they know is darkness and it's chaos. The kingdom of darkness is at war with the kingdom of light. And it has, there's no ally there. There's no benefit to it. So the spirituality that they practice, it's chaotic and it's full of fear and there's no, like, it's not a system. It's not information. It's fear and darkness. They would, once a year, actually at the time that we were there, they have this ceremony where they slaughter and kill a lot of chickens and, like, usually one pig, and all the men of the village gather in one room and they have to eat everything there. If anybody throws up, I mean, bones and everything, they got to consume all of it. If anybody throws up, they got to restart. And then they end this, like, that time with drinking some sort of, like, locally made liquor, and they bring that to their families, and they have to stay inside their houses for the next 3 days. And you know, he's telling us that that's, like, the stuff that he used to do and put the chicken blood on the trees to, like, appease these spirits. But he hears the gospel from this Korean missionary. He's like, in the middle of the night, I went to a cave where this spirit lived, and I told that spirit, I'm not following you anymore, I'm following Jesus. And he said, this cat, like, jumped up on a rock inside the cave and scared him half to death, and he ran home. And, like, that's his testimony. But, you know, he was rejected by his community after that. And it took years for him to have other Christians and brothers and sisters. And so Ajahn Mike, his father was, like, the first Christian in the area. This is Ajahn Mike. I don't have a picture of his dad, sorry. We've actually talked to our missions board. We are petitioning them. We would like to sponsor or support Ajahn Mike and Ajahn Sambu and other people that we met in Thailand, Josh and Erica, you know. But we make that decision in January, so we'll revisit it. But, I mean, to send their kids to college for the year, I think it's $4,000. I mean, it's so little. I'm like, I think it was $400. $400 to send their kid to college for the year. I'm like, we could make that happen. I think we can make that happen. This is a woman who we spent quite a bit of time with. Liam bonked his head just right behind this scene. Her name was De Tong, and I mean, she just lit up when we're talking to her about the gospel. Her eyes just filled with curiosity and hope and engagement. And, you know, we talk with her for hours about the gospel. And then, you know, you're talking about, like, hey, you sacrifice and put blood on a tree to appease these spirits, but my God, he sacrificed himself to protect you. And just trying to make some of these, like, comparisons and contrasts and just, you're just trying to reach these people. And so we get to the end of that, and it's like, can we pray for you? And she's like, nope. And it's just like, man, you know, to see such curiosity and to see such willingness to hear, and then just still, like, kind of met with such fear. It was really hard. This is her cousin is to her left, to my right, and then this elderly gentleman. On the bottom left corner, this is Ajahn Simon, and he was kind of one of our guides. Ajahn Mike over there on the right. I mean, some people, like De Tong, she is Korean. She's not Thai, and she's a refugee in this area. And so Simon would have to translate English into Thai, and then he would translate to Pastor Mike, and Pastor Mike would then speak in Korean to her. I mean, it was wild. So 3-hour conversation, you could see that happening pretty easy. Again, Peyton just doubling down, eating a spider. He kind of got into it a little bit. This is Jake Robinette sharing the gospel with these people, I think, for the first time in his life. Like, I mean, having to start at the beginning and then, like, go to the end of, like, Jesus on the cross. Pretty neat. You can't see Austin, but he's just off out of camera on the left, and he's got a little towel that he's sitting on and a little fan propped up, and he was doing well. And he was like doing a great job coaching Mike. Okay, so now we're back in the city. AC. I mean, that's not exactly why Matt is smiling, but like when I was putting the slideshow together, like that's the day we got back and we had real showers, no more squatty potties. If you don't know what that is, you can look it up. And yeah, that's how I felt. a real hot shower is fantastic. We got to go and visit some different temples. The local missionaries, they don't enjoy going to these. They see them as very oppressive and dark. This is at the Sunrise Temple. It had this huge staircase with like a dragon like on either side, and it's all tiled and it's beautiful. That's me. This is the Sunrise Temple at the very top. They have this giant gold thing, but it's like spray painted. It's interesting. It was like reminiscent of the Catholic Church and just its opulence and grandeur and trying to make something special. But it's like spray paint at the end of the day, you know? They have all these jade Buddhas, but they're plastic. They're not actual jade. This is overlooking Chiang Mai. You can't really see it that well because it's so cloudy. The girls having fun. okay, so this is a Sunday morning, and they got to have the girls, and you can see Xander, he's over there on the right. They helped lead worship for this Sunday service. I got to share, this probably was one of the most heartbreaking things for me to realize about the Thai culture is most of the time, people have never been hugged by their father. For most people, that's the case. They've never experienced a hug from their father. Right before we came, a Filipino church had sent a group to do a series on the Father's love. And a big part of that series for the Thai pastors was teaching them how to hug. And at first they're like, it's awkward and weird. By the end, they were sobbing and just incredibly touched by that. So I, that morning, having heard that, I mean, that made me cry when I heard that, you know, this Pastor Sambu and Pastor Mike, they had never been like hugged by their father growing up. Like that made me cry just thinking about the Thai people. I taught on the story of the prodigal son and the father, he falls on his son's neck. It's this picture of great intimacy, such closeness and this embrace. And it just, you know, we kind of have this narrative in the U.S. that all cultures should be appreciated and protected and that all cultures are beautiful. That's partially true. And it's partially bogus. The cultures of this world represent the kingdom of darkness. And we are all cultures moving to the kingdom of light. And it's just, that realization is just like, man, Lord, there's things that I assume about my culture that are good. They're not. There's things here that people assume are good. They're not. That kind of, you know, never experiencing that physical intimacy, the sexual tension that produces. And then, I mean, what is Thailand famous for? Human trafficking and prostitution. It's a horrible thing that Satan has done. It is not to be appreciated and is not good. And just like our culture, there's plenty of things not to be appreciated and not good, not a part of the kingdom of God. Right after church, we went to go play soccer. I didn't even have cleats. I had Crocs, so I'm running around barefoot. The Thai people are so gentle. That was like a bizarre thing. I'm used to being in South America where you like borderline get paranoid. You're like looking over your shoulder so much. In Thailand, they're like, if you leave your phone here, it most likely will be here tomorrow. If you were to leave it right here on this bench. Your wallet, same thing. So we're playing soccer with these guys. They're good. They were so nice to me. They could have just raked me over the coals. And yeah, we had a great time playing soccer with them. Here's Allie. It's hard to see, but Allie, you can see her hair, is got all the girls' soccer team circled up, and she's sharing the gospel with them. Here's Xander Harris. He's sharing the gospel with the guys' soccer team. There's Austin with his fan. It's 92 degrees and 100% humidity. I have never sweat so much in my life. There's the whole guys and girls soccer team. In Thailand, they love to do this thing in photos where they kind of pinch their finger and thumb together and they make a tiny heart. Like Thai people are just kind of cute. They're like, tiny heart. I also made it my mission. After I found out that Thai people don't hug, I hugged as many Thai people as I could. And so I'm like the ding-dong farong, you know, coming in, and it's like they can't stop me. And they're just like, But I would only do it to guys. I wasn't going to do that to any ladies. But these guys at the soccer team are like, what's going on? Like, I can't stop him. Like, I'm going to hug you in Jesus' name. This is a different temple. It had some catacombs. And I was like, Jake, climb up there. I gave him a boost. These are the catacombs. This is the one, like most of the temples, I was like, this is like spray paint. This is goofy. This is silly. I'm not getting any like EBGBs. But like walking into the catacombs, I was like, Christ, my firm foundation. Okay, so you want to talk about spiritual darkness? I don't think that Satan is using these temples anymore. I don't think that's his move. Look at all these Buddhist priests. They're swiping. They're all on their phone. All these guys are on their phone. The distraction of the phone, guys, that's where the enemy is at. That's what he's doing. Even for the Buddhists. We found good coffee. And Matt Harris was really happy. This is, I mean, we're quite a few days into the trip and just such joy. This is on that same elephant excursion. Got to go to some beautiful waterfalls. Yep, so many stories. Us with the elephants. Baby elephant. I don't know if, I mean, that's kind of a, like a lifelong bucket list thing to get to play with a baby elephant was pretty amazing. You could feed them too. Like you had like sugar cane and bananas. You could put like the banana in your mouth and like get up on like next to them on the side and like feed them with your mouth. It was, I don't know. I had a blast. And then we got to give the elephants a bath. This is after the mud pit. I mean, that's just like iconic. Like the trunk up like that, man. It was fantastic. It was really fun. But you're not allowed to ride them. You know, I was so sad that you couldn't ride the elephants. Okay, last picture. That's Josh and Erica and Ellie. And I'm profoundly grateful that we got to, that, sorry, I'm very grateful that Josh, Erica, and Ellie have, and Seth, have moved there, that they have become a connection point for our church. Like I said, I want to support them and partner with them. That's a decision for our missions board in January. But a couple of our students, too, have expressed interest in going back and interning with InReach Global. That's an amazing partnership, and I hope that it comes to fruition. And that's it. That's our Thailand trip. The Lord did a lot of things. I was spent. I poured out. I definitely did not find it difficult to be very enthusiastic on the trip until the last day. The last day I got sick. And I didn't sleep that night because every 30 minutes I had to run to the bathroom. Jake Robinette was on his phone all night talking to his girlfriend because he had internet again. And he's like, he could hear me every time I got up because he was like my bunkmate. He's on top. And he's like, that poor man. Like, and the next morning, right before we're getting to the airport, Xander's like, hey, Caleb, like, are you missing your kids? How are they? And I just didn't say a word because I was done. I had nothing left. There was nothing left in the tank. Like, by the power of God, I got past what I had, but that meant I was operating at a negative deficit at this point. And I was like, Xander, if I, and internally, I'm like, if I say one word, I'm going to kill this kid. Like, and I just, I barely made it back. God showed grace and favor on me. He gave me the aisle, the exit row. So I had some leg room for the next 30 hours, but it was rough. Thank you so much for supporting this group and sending us to Thailand. Let me pray. I'm over time. Lord, thank you so much that you would use us and allow us to participate in your work. Lord, help us to be more aware of the things that burden your heart. Lord, to see outside of ourselves that we would lay down our lives for your sake and we would find you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to another SBC Truckee message. If you have any questions about the teaching, please reach out to our pastoral staff and we'd love to meet with you. Come back next week for the next message in the series. Hopefully we'll see you then.